America's Finest Cigarette presents My Little Margie, starring Gail Storm and Charles Farrell, transcribed in Hollywood. Remember this the next time you buy cigarettes. The more vintage tobacco in a cigarette, the more rich, natural flavor in every puff, the more natural mildness and aroma in the smoke. And there's more rare vintage tobacco in Philip Morris, king size and regular, than in other leading cigarettes. Vintage tobacco is the result of nature at her finest, the result of just the right amount of sun and moisture. So try Philip Morris, America's vintage cigarette, in the convenient snap-open pack. Pick up a carton, king size or regular, tomorrow.
Call for Philip Morris.
It's early afternoon in the Albright apartment, but Margie's father, Vern, is just getting up to have breakfast.
Good morning, Margie.
Punching through and ding dong.
Hey, what's with the Chinese? All I said was good morning.
I know. The only place it's morning right now is in China.
Oh, I can't help it. I was out late last night. I went to an art gallery.
Since when is a burlesque show an art gallery?
Well, they had it in the gallery, and it was run by a guy named Art.
Dad, don't you think you're living it up too strenuously? You've been out every night this week, and two nights ago you didn't come home until 3.
Well, I was out with the boys.
You were out with some woman, and I know just the type you'd pick. Probably some beautiful blonde, the type who uses heavy perfume and has a come-hither look in her eyes. I know the type, all right.
Never mind the type. What's your phone number?
Dad, I know you're a wolf, but aren't you getting a little too old for the pack?
Well, heck no. There's lots of gray wolves running around.
If you keep this up, you won't even be able to crawl around. No kidding, Dad. I'm worried about you. Now, please slow down. Otherwise, you'll wind up an old man.
Oh, you can't wind up an old man. They don't have any springs.
Dad, be serious.
I am, Margie. You only live once, and I'm going to make the most of it. Pass the toast, please.
Here. Come in.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, hello, Freddie.
Hello, Mr. Albright. Mr. Albright, will you please stop reading that newspaper? Why don't you look at me?
Please, not while I'm eating.
Margie, I came up to tell you something very important. For years, I worshipped you from afar. But now I've decided that I'm not good enough for you. I'm not good enough because I haven't made anything of myself yet. I really haven't got a decent career.
That's true.
You know, I could have been successful in a profession which requires an expert knowledge of buildings, highways, and streets.
An engineer?
No, a taxi driver. Look at the crummy little office job I have now. I can't even get along on the salary. If I could just get a little raise so I could make ends meet.
Well, why don't you give up some of the luxuries?
You mean like bread?
In other words, Freddie, you're giving up the idea of marrying Margie until you've made a place for yourself?
Oh, that's right. Well, I got it off my chest, and now I'll be gone. See you later, Margie.
Dad, pass the coffee.
Here. You know something? I like that boy.
What do you mean you like him?
Well, that's right, I do. That boy has a lot of good qualities about him. I know I tease him and pick on him a lot, but I've never really meant the things I've said about him.
Well, that's very nice of you.
You know, when the time comes for you to marry, you could do a lot worse than marry Freddie Wilson.
What? Me marry Freddie? But I don't love him.
Well, you could try to.
Dad, love isn't like a tight shoe that you could force your foot into.
I don't know why it isn't. Lots of married couples give each other the boot.
You're absolutely right. And I've done my share of kicking around.
Mrs. Odette, have you been eavesdropping on us?
Why should I make your apartment an exception? Talking about married couples, did you hear the latest from apartment 9C? Mr. Jordan separated from his wife.
When did the separation from his wife begin?
Well, she fired at him 5 times. He started separating on the first shot. By the 5th shot, he had completely separated.
Well, that's a shame. They've been married such a short time, too.
Oh, I knew the honeymoon was over.
How could you tell?
The dog brought him his slippers, and his wife barked at him.
Listen, is that all you two girls have to do is gossip about other people?
No, know. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Odets and I are going shopping right now. And afterwards, we're having tea in her apartment.
What are you going to do, Mr. Albright?
Oh, nothing this afternoon, but this evening I have a date on the corner of Broadway and 42nd Street at 8 o'clock.
Who with?
Well, how do I know who's going to be on the corner of Broadway and 42nd Street at 8 o'clock? Come in.
Hello, Albright. How are you?
Oh, just fine, Mr. Honeywell. Glad you dropped in. How are you?
Oh, terrible. As you know, my hobby is raising flowers. Well, I'm having trouble in my hothouse.
What's the matter? Did your daffodil go daffy, or did your crocus croak?
Albright, that's not funny.
Oh. Yes, boss.
As a matter of fact, I'm having serious trouble with one of my favorite gardenias, the one called Vern Albright.
Oh, you named it after me.
Yes, because it's such a droopy little thing. Well, Vern is a sick flower, a mighty sick flower.
Oh, how sick can a flower get?
Well, I'll tell you how bad it is. The bees are taking pollen from the other plants and putting it back on Vern.
Sounds pretty bad.
Oh, it is. That poor little gardenia. I stayed up with it all night.
Why don't you call it an expert?
Well, that's what I did today. That's why I feel so depressed, all right. I talked to a nursery specialist. First, he took the gardenia's temperature. Then he felt its pulse. Then he opened the petals wide and looked down into the stem to see if it had tonsils. And then came the verdict.
What was it?
That plant has only 30 days left to live. Think of it, 30 days. Only 30 days left on Earth. And then it goes to that faraway nursery up in the sky, free, happy, never more to be bothered by ants, aphids, worms, or goldfish.
Honeywell.
Now, what would you do if you had 30 days to live?
Oh, there's lots of things I'd like to do.
Oh.
I'd like to see all the best Broadway shows, go out with some beautiful girls, attend a lot of parties with my best friends.
Is that all you want to do with 30 days to live?
Oh, there's a lot more, but one of the things I'd like to do is walk into your office and tell you to go to blazes.
It wouldn't bother me any.
It wouldn't?
Heck no. With 30 days to live, you'll go to blazes before I will.
Home. I can hardly wait to sit down. My feet are killing me.
Well, my apartment is right down the hall. We'll be there in a jiffy. Ooh, here's apartment 10D. Let's listen a minute and see if the Browns are still squabbling. Yes. Boy, she's really telling him off. Here's your apartment. I wonder what's going on in there.
Well, probably not very...
I'm interested. What other things would you like to do?
Sounds like Mr. Honeywell is in there with Dad.
I want to hear.
Well, the things I mentioned aren't too important, I guess, but with 30 days to live, there is one thing I'd really like to see.
30 days to live?
This is really the most important thing. With 30 days left to me on Earth, I'd like to see my daughter Margie happily married. Then I'd know my job was well done.
Oh, Mrs. Odette, Dad has only 30 days to live. Now I know why he's been living it up lately. He knows he's doomed. Why, just a few hours ago he said, Margie, you live only once, and I'm going to make the most of it. Oh, that explains so many things.
Well, I'm glad you're being philosophical about it, Margie. My third husband, Caspar, used to be philosophical about life. He used to say life was an everlasting struggle to keep money coming in and teeth and hair from coming out.
Mrs. Odette, I want to make Dad's last 30 days on Earth the happiest of his life. But what can I do?
Well, he mentioned something about wanting to see you married.
Yeah, that's right, married. But who can I marry? I'm not in love with anybody. Oh, I know.
You fell in love that fast? Without even meeting the guy? Boy, you're worse than I am.
Freddie Wilson. Dad was hinting at it today. That's who he wants me to marry.
Freddie Wilson?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You'd be better off if you could trade places with your father.
But that's his choice. I know it. Okay, I'll marry Freddie, just to make Dad happy. But Freddie said he wasn't going to marry me until he became successful.
What are you going to do?
Well, there's only one way out. I'll have to propose to him.
In a moment, we'll return to My Little Margie, but first, a word from Frank Sims.
It's much more flavorful.
Naturally.
And much milder, too.
Naturally.
And, of course, it's better for you to smoke.
Naturally.
Yes, every puff of every Philip Morris you smoke gives you mildness and rich, mellow flavor. Now, true mildness and flavor begin with the tobacco itself. And the mildest, most flavorful tobacco is vintage. Now, listen to this.
There's more rare vintage tobacco in Philip Morris, king size and regular, than in other leading cigarettes.
That's right. And remember, the rare vintage tobacco in Philip Morris grows milder and more flavorful because it's the result of nature at her finest, the result of just the right amount of sunshine and rain. And in order always to bring you vintage tobacco, even when there is no rain, Philip Morris gets tobacco from certain fields where great sprinkling systems bring precious moisture to thirsty tobacco plants. These sprinklers make the difference between moisture-starved tobacco and rich, vintage-quality tobacco.
And there's more rare vintage tobacco in Philip Morris than in other leading cigarettes.
So for a cigarette that's
naturally more flavorful, naturally milder, and naturally smoother to smoke,
try Philip Morris, king size or regular, in the new snap-open pack today.
And now, back to My Little Margie. Well, due to a misunderstanding, Margie's under the horrible impression that her father has only 30 days to live, but doesn't want her to know it. She's determined to make his last days happy ones by marrying Freddy. While waiting for Freddy to come over, she tries to get her father out of the apartment for the evening.
Dad, why don't you go out tonight? Go to a show, a nightclub, dance, have fun, live it up.
Oh, thanks, baby, but I think I'll stay home tonight.
Why?
Oh, I'm half dead. I'm tired from last night.
I want you to go out tonight. Freddie's coming over, and I kind of wanted to be alone with him.
Well, why didn't you say so? Okay, I'll go out.
Oh, Dad, you're an angel. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, that reminds me. I think I'll drop over to the club. Professor Johnny Waters is going to be there tonight.
Who's he?
A famous musician. He promised to give me a few lessons on the harp.
You rascal, you.
Oh,
yes. Oh,
excuse me. Well, see you later, Margie.
If you're going out, Mr. Albright, you better wear an overcoat. It's cold.
Oh, I'm getting tired of this cold weather. If I can arrange it next month, I'm going to a warmer climate.
Well, if he does go to a warmer climate, I'd like to give him a message for my fourth husband.
Poor Dad.
Did you call Freddie?
Mm-hmm. He's on his way over.
Oh, Margie, I hope you're doing the right thing.
Well, if marrying Freddie will make Dad's last days happy ones, I'm going through with it.
I guess you're right. Does Freddie know why you want to see him?
No. No, I didn't tell him on the phone. And I don't mind telling you that I'm kind of nervous about proposing. I wish he'd propose to me.
When it comes to proposing, men are like corks.
Corks?
Yes. Some will pop the question, while others have to be drawn out.
Well, that must be him. Come in.
Hi, Margie, Mrs. Odette.
Hi. Hello, Freddie.
Well, I'll run along and leave you two lovebirds.
Lovebirds? Margie, what do you mean by that?
Well, Freddie, sit down on the couch next to me.
Okay.
Closer.
Okay.
Closer.
Okay.
Closer. You passed me.
I was just carried away.
Put your arm around me.
Like this?
Mm-hmm. Freddy, what do you think I'd do if you tried to kiss me?
I don't know.
Aren't you even curious?
Margie, I don't understand this. You're acting awfully strange.
Strange? Strange because I think you're the handsomest man in the world.
Who, me?
And the most charming.
Who, me?
And the smartest.
Who, me?
Marry me.
Hoo-ha!
Oh, Freddie, say you love me. Say it.
You love me.
Oh, Freddie, marry me. Make me happy.
Make up your mind. Which do you want me to do?
Don't you want to marry me?
Gee, Margie, I never thought I'd see the day when you'd propose to good-for-nothing me.
Do you accept?
Well, I've got to think it over. I accept.
Good. We're engaged.
When do I get my engagement ring?
You're supposed to give me an engagement ring.
But you did the proposing.
All right, we won't argue. Here's my class ring.
Slip it on my finger. I'm blushing already.
We must get married right away.
Well, before we get married, Margie, there's something I'd better get off my chest.
So what is it?
A tattooed picture of a hula dancer.
Dad should be home any minute, Freddie. Now, as soon as he comes in, break the news to him.
Hi, kid.
Hello, Mr. Albright.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, just had a close call down the lobby.
Well, what happened?
Well, the porter was mopping the floor. There was a pail of water in the middle of the floor. I didn't see it, and I almost kicked the bucket.
Freddie, go on, tell him.
Mr. Albright, I have something very important to tell you.
Very important? What?
Well,
so far it's very dull. Come on, what is it?
Mr. Albright, I've been going with Margie for 3 years.
Well, what do you want, a pension?
I did? I mean, I did.
Well. Congratulations, my boy.
Then you approve?
Of course, Margie. As long as you'll be happy. Now, the way I feel about it, I'm not losing a daughter. I'm gaining a son-in-law. But somehow, when I look at Freddie, it doesn't come out even.
Oh, I know it's going to make you happy, Dad. And we want to get married right away.
Anything you say.
And, Dad, I'd like a simple ceremony here at the apartment.
All right, I'll get my good friend Judge Eb Shaw to marry you.
And I'll be the bridesmaid. Oh, would you, Mrs. O'Dell?
Oh, I'd love to. I've never been one before. Always a bride, but never a bridesmaid.
Now, why don't you two girls excuse us so Freddie and I can have a man-to-man talk?
Well, come over to my apartment, Margie. I'll help you plan your wedding gown.
All right.
You know, Mr. Albright, Margie's a very fortunate girl to get a guy like me. I could have married any girl I pleased.
Well, why didn't you?
I guess I never pleased any. But now that I'm going to marry Margie, I'll forget all about other girls.
Well, you'd better. Now, let's get out of business. Do you think that you can support Margie?
Oh, I'm not worried about being able to support her. My big worry right now is, where am I going to dig up the $2 for the license?
Here, be my guest.
Oh, thanks, future father-in-law.
But don't depend on me to take care of you forever.
Yes, sir.
Now, a long time ago, I promised Margie her own home for a wedding present, so you'll have a place to live.
What are you going to give me for a wedding present?
A copy of the want ads and a mirror. A
copy of the want ads and a mirror?
Yes, you can either look for a job or watch yourself starve to death. Oh, good morning, Mr. Honeywell.
Good morning, Albright.
Oh, you look tired.
Oh, I am. I almost didn't come down to the office today. I sat up all night with that sick gardenia.
How is it?
Wilting fast. Yes, lost 4 petals during the night. I sent for a specialist from California.
Too bad. By the way, I hope you're going to attend Margie's wedding tomorrow.
Oh, I'll try to make it. It all depends on what time that specialist gets in. Yeah, Albright, you don't seem to be very happy about this marriage.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not. But if this is what Margie wants, well, I'm not going to interfere.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it now. This time tomorrow, they'll be married, for better or worse.
Yeah. afraid he couldn't do better, and Margie couldn't do worse.
Oh, well, now stop worrying about it. Freddie will turn out all right. With the responsibility of a wife, he'll go out and make something of himself. He'll get ahead.
Believe me, he could use a head.
Well, one thing is certain. He'll never mistreat Margie. He's got character. You can see it in his eyes.
If he ever does mistreat us, so help me, I'll blacken his character.
Oh, Margie, you look beautiful. You're going to be the prettiest bride of the season.
Thanks, Mrs. Odette.
You don't sound very happy.
I'm not. I really don't want to marry Freddie. I'm only doing it to make Dad's last days on Earth happy ones.
I understand, you poor kid.
Well, well, doesn't the bride look beautiful?
Hello, Dad.
Margie, Mrs. Odette, this is Judge Ebshaw.
How do you do, Judge?
Where is the groom?
Oh, he should be here any minute, Judge.
I'd like to get this marriage ceremony over with as quickly as possible. I'm due in court. I have to listen to a divorce case.
The judge gets them coming and going.
Oh, I thought I recognized you, Judge. Don't you remember me? Florence Odette versus Newbold Odette.
Oh, yes. $200 a month alimony and custody of the Cocker Spaniel.
That must be the groom now.
I think I'll go in the other room and fix my makeup. Excuse me.
I'll go with you.
Well, Mr. Albright.
Hello, Freddie. This is Judge Shaw.
How do you do, Freddie?
The judge is going to marry you.
Oh.
You don't seem to be very enthusiastic.
Hello, Freddie.
Hello, Margie.
You make a handsome groom.
You make a beautiful bride.
Well, Judge, shall we start?
Yes. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this joyous occasion.
Mrs. Odette, please.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this joyous occasion.
Mrs. Odette, what are you crying for? You're not getting married.
That's why I'm crying.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this joyous occasion to witness the marriage of Margie Albright to Freddie Wilson.
Albright, I've got great news.
What is it, Mr. Honeywell?
I just left the specialist. Vern Albright is not going to die.
The specialist? What specialist?
The horticultural specialist that Mr. Honeywell called in to see if he could save his favorite gardenia.
The one I named after your father.
It was going to die in 30 days.
Then it wasn't you who was going to die in 30 days?
Why, of course not.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here to...
Stop!
Dad, I thought it would make you very happy if I married Freddie. That's why I was ready to go through with it.
Gosh, Mr. Honeywell arrived in the nick of time.
Yeah.
Another minute and I'd have had Freddie for a son-in-law.
Freddie was just as happy to call it off, too. He said the other day he didn't want to get married yet. At least he's honest about things. He's not two-faced.
Well, I agree he's not two-faced. If he was,
he'd
wear the other one.
Yes, sir, that's my pop.
And that's my little Margie. That was close, Margie. Imagine having Freddie for a son-in-law.
Oh, it might not be so bad, Dad. Freddie has his good points.
Well, that may be, but I like good points that are a little easier to find. Like the good points about Philip Morris.
And there are lots of those. Philip Morris is naturally milder, naturally more flavorful, and naturally smoother smoking.
Right. And that's because there's more rare vintage tobacco in Philip Morris, king size and regular, than in other leading cigarettes.
And vintage tobacco is the result of nature at her finest.
That's why Philip Morris is America's finest cigarette.
So try a carton of Philip Morris in the new Snap Open Pack today.
This is Frank Sims speaking for Philip Morris.
My little
Margie stars Gail Thorne and Charles Farrell and is based on characters created by Frank Fox and produced, directed, and transcribed by Gordon T. Hughes for Hal Roach Jr. and Roland Reed. My Little Margie is written by Lee Carson and Jack Harvey. Verna Felton is Mrs. Odette and Gil Stratton Jr. is Freddie. Will Wright is Mr. Honeywell and Herb Butterfield played the judge. I'm Roy Rowan.
And for those who prefer a filter cigarette, Philip Morris suggests another member of its famous family, Parliament cigarettes. Yes, you're so smart to give Parliaments at Christmas, because smart smokers appreciate Parliament's premium advantages. Superior filtering efficiency, a custom-made filter mouthpiece with a recessed filter, and premium quality tobaccos. Yes, you're so smart to give Parliaments in their gay, festive gift carton, regular or king-size.
Be with us next week when once again Philip Morris presents My Little Margie
over the CBS Radio Network.
Stay tuned for the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy. When Bill Leonard decided to move his This Is New York program to an evening time, he made sure that his old morning airtime would be filled in one of the happiest ways possible. Yes, starting tomorrow, the Bob Hames Show, which starts at 8:15, will be extended all the way to 9:30 every Monday through Saturday morning. And that means more music and more merriment on the Bob Hames Show than ever before. So remember to keep listening for Bob from 8:15 until 9:30 every weekday morning from now on. And remember to listen in for This Is New York with Bill Leonard at 11:30 sharp every Monday through Friday night, and at 11:35 on Saturday nights, right here at the Star's address. Because both of these shows are just too good to miss. The New York City temperature is now 36 degrees. It's 9 o'clock. WCBS, AM and FM, New York.